life on the farm. You never know where the boys are at. Probably out fishing or who knows, something like that. I'm going to pull down here at the creek. I see the Viking down here. We'll see what they're doing.
All right. Well, there's Hunter.
Hunter, what are you doing?
I'm looking for some crawdads and minnows.
Crawdads and minnows? What for?
I'm going to fish with them.
Oh, fishing. You boys are always fishing. Where's your dad? Oh. What are you doing?
There's a monster under there.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for some crawdads.
Not sure.
Whatever else I can find.
Hey, come here. There's a big old turtle.
Where?
Dude, that is a huge turtle.
Thing is massive.
What is that?
You got it?
Okay.
What is that?
Oh, look at that thing.
Gosh, that dude, he must weigh 30 or 40 pounds.
What is it?
It's huge. It's an alligator snapping turtle. Let's set him right here.
Set him?
On the bridge.
We you gonna set him down?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see. Is he gonna get me?
No.
If he starts coming at me.
He's coming at you.
I'm not going to be happy.
That dude's huge, isn't he?
Look at him open his mouth.
Yeah, I know. So he's pretty interesting because there's two species of snapping turtles in Arkansas. One is a common snapper, and this is an alligator snapper. And that dude has some jaw strength. What's really neat about these guys is that they'll live, somewhere around 100 years old. So
really?
They're pretty prehistoric looking, aren't they? Isn't that pretty neat? And they can weigh, somewhere up around 175 pounds. He's pretty much a set and weight predator, right? Boy, he is strong too. So what he'll do is you don't really find them in ponds really, these alligator snapping turtles or lakes necessarily, but you'll find them a lot in creeks like this, deeper creeks, and you'll find them in rivers. And what they do, they may set in one spot for, several days. And they don't really go hunting necessarily. What they'll do is they'll sit there on the bottom of the river or the creek with their mouths open. Has he got his mouth open?
Yeah, he's got it open.
Does he? All right, and what they'll do is they'll sit there for a long time with their mouth open like that. And that little worm-like appendage in their mouth is more or less like a lure, like a bait or a lure. And so what they'll do, they'll wait for a fish to come by, and that fish thinks that's a little worm, like a little red Rick Wiggler worm. And so the fish will come in there thinking that's a worm, go to get that worm, and that dude snaps down. Snaps down right there on the fish. So they don't really go hunting for their food. They just kind of sit and wait, kind of like he's wanting to turn around on me here. Put that stick up there, Hunter, see if he'll snap down on it.
Do not let him go.
I'm not gonna let him go. Watch this. Oh!
Oh, he bit it off.
He bit the end of it off, didn't he? Isn't that just how the enemy works? He lies in wait, setting that trap and wiggling that bait out there, beckoning for you to come in. And he knows what entices you, what appeals to you. He draws you in little by little until finally he snaps down with his only purpose to devour you. In James 1:14 through 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We may not always realize just how serious our sin can be or how dangerous our enemy is, but he has lots of tricks up his old sleeve. In 2 Corinthians, it speaks of how Satan will disguise himself to be more appealing, even as an angel of light. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, Jesus himself was tempted of Satan. He set out a trap, hoping that Jesus would take the bait. Look at how he appealed to him. It says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread." And then in verse 5 and 6, it says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And finally, in verses 8 through 9, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of all of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan appealed to the flesh of Jesus. Jesus was fully God, yet fully man. Before going up to the mountain, he had fasted and prayed for 40 days, and of course, he was hungry. Satan did his best to lure him with what he felt would be enticing to his appetite. He offered him authority and power and all that Jesus could see. Knowing what was ahead for him in the crucifixion, Jesus could have given in. But he did not take the bait. Instead, his response, just as ours should be to temptations, yielded the sword, fighting back with the very word of God. So what now? What if you're in over your head? You've given in to those temptations and you feel there's just no way out. Just turn around. It's that easy. Because guess who is right there waiting? Jesus. With his arms stretched wide, ready to embrace you. Turning around is the exact meaning of repentance. Whatever sin you're dealing with, it's never too big for God. Stop what you're doing and turn to Jesus. Okay, let's head back to the creek. You never know what you might find.
Are you sure that turtle's going to be fine over here?
Oh, yeah. He already swam off.
He did?
Yeah. It's a big old deep hole right here.
Ugh. What? Yeah?
Put the brim over here. Bunch of brim.
Can you eat brim?
Yeah, you can. They're good to eat.
Mm. A big old horsefly flying around.
Check out what I just found in the bushes. Where are you going? That dude is a beast, isn't he?
And he's big.
Dang gum, that's a big old snake. Where'd Yolanda go?
She done RUN and OFT'd.
You think I'm gonna get in trouble?
Probably so.